looking at Matthew 27, 15 through 24, a rather longer reading, but incredibly helpful for us to read this long reading on this particular day. But let's hear the word of the Lord. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the crowd any one prisoner whom they wanted. And they had then a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had gathered, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that it was out of envy that they had delivered him up. Besides, while he was sitting on his judgment seat, his wife sent word to him, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for I've suffered much because of him today in a dream." Now the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor again said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." And Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Let him be crucified." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they shouted all the more, "Let him be crucified." When Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves." And all the people answered, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand, and kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped the robe off of him and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. As they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered him wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I'm the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook, and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, This was the Son of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Our Lord Jesus, we give you thanks. And we pray that as we look now at these details, excruciating as they are, of your death, would you give us the illumination that we need from your Holy Spirit? We ask that, Jesus, in your name. Amen. There's a gospel song that I've been listening to a lot lately. It's a new version put out by this pseudo-country band called the Red Clay Strays called Will the Lord Remember Me? And it's a great song. You should listen to it. But it's based on an older gospel hymn from the early 1900s that I didn't know about. And so I dug it up and found a couple of verses that the Red Clay Strays didn't use. And they were fantastic. Here's one of the verses that didn't make the new version. Oh, what a shame to kill him there on that rugged cross. But such a death was needed to rescue all the lost. His blood was made a ransom to set the captives free. I know that I'm included, and he will remember me. A good hymn makes a good argument. And this one argues that the death of Jesus and the shedding of his blood was done with his people in mind, with his people close to his heart. That the only reason that God would remember me positively and bring me to heaven when I die has something to do with the death of Jesus as he experienced it on the cross. The only hope that a sinner has is that 2,000 years ago, the holy Lord Jesus lovingly died in place of somebody like you. Such a death was needed, it says. It's an amazing thought because in this account that we just read, in that history, Jesus would remember us, but maybe not in the positive way that that hymn speaks of first. Consider if Jesus actually remembers you, consider all that he would remember about you and about me. And I'm not certain that that is good news. That he would remember everything. He would remember every thought. He would remember every deed that maybe no one else knows about. He would remember every word that slipped out of my mouth. He remembers all the things that we wish that he wouldn't. We could say it this way. He would know better than you and I do all of the charges that should have fallen on us. He would know them all. All the charges that should make God forsake us and judge us and send us into an eternity where the only thing we know about God is his justice. All those charges for those who were his fell on the head of the Lord Jesus in this moment that we're reading about in the scripture. Just walking through the account, notice what we see. Jesus is the only innocent person that's ever lived. And he's killed, and a guilty, imprisoned murderer and insurrectionist called Barabbas goes free. The perfect judge of all the earth, that is Jesus, is executed. And Pilate, the weak, appointed judge over Judea by the Roman Empire, which is the authority and power of the land, abuses justice by washing his hands and acting like he has nothing to do with this. Jesus, who healed the crowds, is turned over to death by the shout of the very crowds. He came to his own, but his own would not receive him. He who made all things, including every plant of the ground, wore on his head a crown made of the cursed thorns that were the cause from human sin, the curse of the ground. He wore it. The king who reigned in time, in past eternally and reigns now and will reign forever was mockingly, deridingly called the king of the Jews and spit upon. He who saved others and could have saved himself chose not to save himself so that he could save sinners. He who always did what was right and should have never been forsaken. Finally, after thousands of years of human history, a true human, a true Adam, a second Adam who got it right. He obeyed. A true Israelite. Everything that Israel was supposed to be, he's all of it. Cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And creation itself reacts. The earth quakes and the rocks split, and the curtain of the temple, which is thick, was torn from top to bottom. And think about the Roman centurion, so familiar with death. Think about your job and how at your job, you know exactly what to do. You go through all the motions, another day at the office. Think about his another day at the office. So desensitized to death. So hardened and cold, and look, another criminal on another day, subject to the Roman Empire, we'll do our job, we'll take care of this. Another day at the office, and there's a moment when he realizes, hold on, something is different here. And perhaps he says more than he knows when he cries out, this is the Son of God. For the glory of God's justice, justice is satisfied. For the glory of God's mercy and his graciousness to sinners, mercy is extended. He should have only remembered us negatively. He should have only remembered the charges that we have brought upon ourselves. And yet he chooses to remember us savingly, mercifully, positively. Our names are engraved on his hands. He's the one that took hell. He's the one whose blood makes actual sin-covering atonement. Adam and Eve were told, if you eat, you will surely die. But here the second Adam obeys and undergoes death so that sons of Adam and Eve will live. And here's the promise. If you call on him, he will remember you. If you call on him, you who sometimes feel unseen will be seen. If you call on him, you who know your own guilt and your own shame and all of the things that you've done wrong, delights to cast those as far as the east is from the west, to the bottom of the ocean, and remember them no more, but remember you, forever. You're in. You're forgiven and free. You're justified and right with God. And until he comes again to make all things new, you need fear nothing. It really is that good of news. And if you're here and it's news to you, this is the first time you've heard it, or you don't believe it, I would plead with you to believe it. To believe that there's a God who made you, who knows all the worst things about you, who could actually remember you in mercy if you call on the name of his Son, the Lord Jesus. I would urge you to do that. I'll let the hymn have the final word here. Will the Lord remember me when I'm called to go? When I've crossed death's chilly sea, will he his love there show? Oh yes, he heard my feeble cries. From bondage set me free. And when I reach the pearly gates, he will remember me. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, would you give us faith where it is lacking? Increase our faith. Help us to have eyes that can see where we're blind. Help us to see you. Help us to believe the promises. Help us to grapple with the horror of the death that you experienced on behalf of sinners. Lord, it wasn't just death. It was undergoing the wrath of God. It was being separated in that moment from the one whose pleasure and whose nearness he had always known. Help us grapple with what our Lord Jesus underwent for people like us. And as we come now to the Lord's table, would you give us the faith to feed on him? Would you give us the faith to believe that what he did 2,000 years ago in history, recorded, seen, eyewitnessed, that he actually did it for somebody who lives 2,000 years afterward, and that your love for us is that near, it's that deep. Help us, we pray. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.